Full credit where credit is due by you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to accept that you not were wrong because been previously right, but, yes. You know, when things have – we talk about self-improvement on this podcast a lot. You know, we're one of those. And, you know, when things go away and look at what they need to work on and come back a better product, and you just got to give them credit, like you said. So, you know – all will be revealed.
Yeah, ice baths, meditation, that sort of stuff. But
the state of South Australia and their racing in particular has been listening to a lot of self-help podcasts and reading the books, and you've walked through the doors of Moorfield now and there's little saunas and ice baths everywhere. It's self-improvement plan.
Yeah. Hey, it's paying off.
Literally.
It is. It literally is. Second of Portsea might be running this weekend or on Anzac Day, so you'll have to tune in to the Instagram to see that. But sensational racing in South Australia, unbelievably. The Brisbane Carnival is kicking off as well. If you were to have a bet this weekend, where would you do it?
With the good people at Ned's, definitely. You can do everything you want with them. You can get weird and exotic as well, which I know you like a lot. You've provided a few tips for one of the features where, you know, maybe if you were interested in a Ned same race multi, you could chuck that on and it'd give you some juicy odds, I think. And maybe you could follow us in as well with the Ned's profiles.
Yeah, yeah. If you like what we're putting down on the day, just go to our Ned's profiles and copy what we've got going on there. But yeah, should be good.
Let's go.
But what are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Hello and welcome to a new and improved On The Drift podcast. I'm Dan and this is DJ, and
we have
a very special guest here, Sammy Sheehan. How you going, bro?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No, our pleasure, mate.
Our pleasure.
But so this episode of the potty, so disclaimer up front, I have a bad case of hay fever right now, so I'm not sneezing out COVID here as far as I'm aware, but if I sneeze, I apologize throughout the episode.
Mate, all is forgiven. And look, I'm just impressed that you're powering through.
Mate, this is the hardest I've had to work all year, setting up this IKEA furniture for this new studio that we got going here. But I think it's paid off.
I'm just probably a little bit appalled there's no mask on entry. I don't know. I might be tweeting Anastasia on my way out.
There should be an On The Drift mask. It'd actually be quite a nice design. Maybe we should think about it, mate. Bit of merch.
Mate, we should. And we should have got you to check in, actually. But
that's on the tweet list. Don't worry.
At Anastasia Alphabet.
Okay, but this is the first episode of our spelling season, so in between Group 1 seasons, we thought we'd do a bit of an interview series, so Sammy's our first guest here, but let's kick it off, mate. So we just wanted to set the scene a bit, so you're a good mate of Jonesy's. How do you guys know each other? Declan, do you want to kick it off there, mate?
Oh, yeah. Can I have the honours, mate? Is that all right?
Go for it.
Oh, so look, we're just a couple of young lads who are just typical Brisbane private school idiots. And when you're the same age in Brisbane, you go to a good private school, you tend to know each other.
It's true. It's sad but true.
It is sad but true. Now, look, I think we met each other through some mutual mates or parties or something in year 12, there or thereabouts. And then we actually ended up working together at the Storybridge Hotel for, about a year or something? Did you work there?
Yeah, mate, 18 months. Mm. Gorgeous place.
One of the great pubs.
Yeah, slinging a few beers and having a bit of a chat between shifts.
During shifts.
And just generally being menaces around there, weren't we, at Storybridge?
I'm not allowed back anymore, but I think that came after employment. So
is that actually true?
I haven't tried for a little while, so we'll just see how we go.
Okay, Richard Deary, if you're listening, we need an exemption to get back into the Storybridge Hotel.
Been plug, so.
Big plug. But wow. No, man, it's so it's been a number of years now, and I think we both sort of knew we had a mutual affection for horses back in those days, but maybe we just didn't talk about it in depth.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things. I think from a younger age, I wasn't necessarily as much into horses as I am now. Always was interested, but wasn't something I based my life around or Facebook names or anything like that. So it's definitely grown a lot more. But, yeah, you know, when you know, Jonesy. Yeah. And I think I just knew with you.
Yeah, man. Exactly right, mate. It's love at first sight.
Well, you need to, you know, build up a bit of pocket change so you can have a punt in the first place and buy your first horse.
And that's it. That's
so, yeah, you got to get started somewhere. But, mate, tell us a bit about what you're doing now, because you've kind of transitioned into a bit of a, you know, working with horses day to day with SJC Thoroughbreds.
Yeah, yep. So
thank you for the stubby coolers, by the way.
That's right. They're good. Mm. They're good. Good for you, Declan, if you're sitting on a beer for 2 hours. It'll keep it nice and cold, mate.
Yeah, mate. Good, good. I'm more of a Smirnoff red or Smirnoff ice red or it's double black type. So
Vodka mud shakes.
Yeah.
They're the play, mate. They're the play.
Guava cruises.
Yeah, also the play. SJC started probably 14, 15 months ago, so definitely still quite new. So it was myself and a few mates. We were going to buy our first horse, just a group of us, all mates, and purchase it individually. And we thought, yep, like we're all going to go into this horse. I'm clever. I'll chat to you a little bit about him later on. Gorgeous, gorgeous boy. But yeah, we just, there was a big group of us going into this horse and we sort of floated the idea out to everyone. Why don't we just jump in a syndicate? This is something we love. Like we can just take percentages in 10 different horses instead of all individually buying bits and bobs of different ones. Then not many people were keen at the start. So it ended up being the three of us, myself, James Healy and Cam Smith, not the footy player, but he's a flog. So the better Cam Smith. And then, from that, we just sort of thought, let's just give it a nudge. Started out with the one horse, I'm Clever, and we just, we were really not concerned, but just think like horse ownership, it's going to cost an arm and a leg. Like, how are we going to afford it? Like, I don't own a house. Is this a safe, stable investment? Yes. it's one of those things, but it's something we all loved, and it started as, probably more of a passion project than anything, and then we've sort of grown a bit from there to having stubby-coolers now. So it's been a big step, but we've made it now.
You know you've made it when you've got stubby-coolers officially.
That was my thought process behind all of it. I was like, well, what more do we need to do?
So I guess what goes into, like, talk us through that first horse. Like, I'm Clever. So how did that come about, and how, like, what was the, I guess, back end of it?
So this is probably when James was still working for Kiramar down in Melbourne, or it might have been just after, but it was a Yulong horse, so they had it, and it was with Kieran, so it was a two-year-old, had had one trial, didn't really show much at all. They gelded it after that. I think that's a bit of a Yulong policy if they've got something. It was, Sebring out of Nina Rock, Group 3 winner, Group 2 place, I think. So it was very well-bred horse, but just didn't show much ability. He's quite small in stature, but big ticker, you know.
That's the only thing that counts.
He's just a trier. At the end of the day, you can't be mad if he's tried his little heart out. So, but yeah, James sort of said, oh, if this thing goes for cheap enough, we should try and pick it up. Anyway, ended up going through, I think, the Inglis online for 7,500.
Right,
and okay. So the year before passed in as a yearling at 250K. So like just value hunters pretty much. we found that and we thought, yep, all right, like I'm Clever. That's a sick name, already named. So we thought, how good's this?
Yeah. Cool. A fitting name for you three.
Well, that's it. And people have said, geez, you would name it that. And I was like, the scary thing is I didn't name it that.
And for context, for people who aren't aware, you might see the James Healy Racing cap in the back, but he was actually when he was working for Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace, or just Kieran Maher probably at that stage. Yeah. He was loving Gabby Strapper. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of tidbit information for you if you're not aware.
Yeah, no, it was good. And someone like James, who's been around horses sort of his whole life, it was good to get, well, obviously having worked at the stable where the horse was, you sort of get, I guess, a bit more of that inside knowledge. And he said it's definitely worth more than I'd say what it's going to go through for. So we thought, all right, let's have a throw at the stump. Sort of in the space of 24 hours, it all sort of happened very quickly. We're like, oh, are we gonna get in? Are we not? Or not get in? Are we going to buy it or are we not? And who are we going to get in to come in with it? Blah, blah, blah. But it's just one of those things. Like, it can be quite affordable. Obviously a cheap purchase price, but like ongoings, if you've got 20 guys or 15 guys all with a small percent, like it's not this whole, well, it is a sport of kings, I guess, but it's not, you don't have to be a king to own a horse sort of thing. So
What's the syndication that does Behemoth and those
grand syndications?
Grand syndications. It's kind of like that model. They just buy tried horses or they didn't quite get the JD initially, but they might have a few things, little things wrong with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like something similar to that.
Yeah, like, I mean, Clev, affectionately known as Clev, or the people's horse, he showed like absolutely nothing.
No ability whatsoever.
Yeah, literally nothing. But then like at the end of it, it was like, oh, he had like a small mucus issue or there was something, there was some reason behind it. I was like, for 7.5 grand, coming from a Melbourne trial as well, so you're sort of like, oh, all right, that's probably a good race up here in some areas. So it's like, oh,
it's
okay,
like a group two up here.
Basically. It was on a heavy track, so I'll give him that. He prefers to be on top of the ground. But, we just thought, you know what, fuck it, like, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, we all lose heaps and heaps of money and there's vet bills and everything. So we thought, you know what's worth it? Like, let's go. And then, first start, I think second last, 10 lengths. I want to say Gatton, might have been Bow Desert. Last Bow Desert, we thought, yes, this is the future. It's one of those things, though, like if you expect it, we didn't expect it to be the worst. I think it jumped at 3:30. So, that was a bit of a kick in the shin to see that go down. But at the end of it, we were like, oh, well, it was an excuse for – at the end of the day, it was a social purchase from a social point of view. So, like, guys, we've been mates forever. And we just thought, like, we'll just have a throw at the stumps, see how it goes. And then, after that first one, we were like, this is not an easy game. Before, we were like, oh, look at the breeding, look at this.
Yeah, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And
the audacity to think Kieran and Yulong don't know what they're doing. Be like, oh, they're letting this jet go.
This thing will run on an Everest in 12 months. Just you wait.
And I'll have to shout them like a 4X gold or something. But no, we're not quite there yet, so we'll see what happens. But, second start, Ryan Wiggins aboard, Rom's home.
Mm. Bang.
Winner at 2. 1200 meters.
Yeah.
And then we put it in the paddock for a bit, trialed it up, didn't go that well. And we were like, oh, what's the go? In between that, we actually bought another tried horse that, same thing, the thick of it.
Yeah.
Dead last the first start. We were like, dead last first start. When Clever won, he was paid 31s, I think, after being 17. His first start was 17s into threes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think all the boys got very trigger happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a plunge horse for evidently no good reason. But the second time around, I think it opened at 50s and then got in as low. I think the tote price ended up being 19.
Wow.
So I think we're a very optimistic bunch when it comes to our own horses running.
You've got to be like that, though. Otherwise, what's the point?
See, I'd convinced myself when I first bought into, like, the first horse, oh, okay, instead of punting, I'd never punt on my own horse because if you win prize money. Yeah. And, like, it's way easier to say that than do it. You get caught up in the moment. It's blown out a couple of dollars. I'll go again. But yeah, I mean, the same thing happened with our second horse, the thick of it. Bought it from Andrew Payne? Yeah. From down south. Another cheap purchase. I think he was 4.5 grand down Pakenham way. So he just, yeah, dead last, Ipswich on a Tuesday, went out on, like, yeah, lunchtime that day and thought, you know what, he does have ability, bit of a nutcase, has ability though.
Cheeky boy.
And then just, yeah, did absolutely nothing with it. And I think he was 5 years old at this point. We're like, oh, no, we should probably stick to buying ready-to-runs or three-year-olds. Yeah. But, yeah, second start, wins on a Saturday, 10 days later, Saturday at the Gold Coast, paying 54s. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Must be nice.
It's yeah, it wasn't looking nice for a very, very, very long time. I was like, how do you sell a thoroughbred that doesn't want to run anymore? You can't. It's a $1 transaction, I think, that one.
Yeah,
But, yeah, we've got actually I'm Clever back. We sold him, and then after a big old debacle and not hearing back from an overseas buyer, it was, yeah, the horse got, I guess you'd say, repossessed by Billy Healy, who trains him up at the Sunshine Coast. We've got a few with him now. Yeah, repossessed him, I guess, if that's the right term to use for a horse. And then, yeah, he was kind enough to sort of offer everyone back in that was in it originally. Not everyone wanted to go back in, and that's fine, but he's actually running on Tuesday, so
bang.
Yeah, good. He was not. He was in accepted down at Merwillumbah, I think it was, just 10 days ago, and yeah, got scratched. Oh no, sorry, the meeting got abandoned. But
yeah,
another one's bizarre things. I think he was paying $5 or something.
Wow.
A year and 1 week exactly after he last ran, and was a rubbish trial after that, and no public trials after that. So.
That's
who knows?
Weird,
that's
punting. Yeah. Yeah. That is weird how it opens at that price. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, but yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but in the best sense. Like, they've been our first two horses, and they sort of, I mean, we saw the bottom of the barrel with them running last, and then obviously the highest of highs with them both winning. So I guess it was the thrill for everyone that was involved with them. I'd say like 80% of the guys that were involved in Clever rolled into the thick of it, and then probably 50% of them have then gone again into one of the other ones we've got or into a couple of them. So it's sort of been one of those things where I guess they've got a taste for it. And it's like, obviously, you know, not every single horse you're going to have is going to win or win its money back or anything like that. But the excitement of going to a track or like sitting at a pub having a beer or at someone's house, it's... Yeah, it's just one of those things, I think. Hard to explain.
Yeah, no, it's good, mate. So how about some other horses in your stable? Because I think we saw you at the track a few weeks ago, and you said that there you have a few two-year-olds
quite a few now, which is good. So we've got Rosé All Day.
Yeah.
Which is, or Gary, he gets called. Which is he's a big, big, strong boy, probably the opposite to Clever, actually. So he's with James Healy, actually. So I think that was one of James's first horses. Well, the first one we sent to him for sure. But yeah, like young train up and coming. I know you guys are in the DEF CON.
There we go.
With him there. So he's back into work now. So I think he'll be a couple of weeks away. We bought him at the Magic Millions Breeze Up sale, maybe last November, just gave him a bit more time because he's, quite a big boy. It takes a bit to get his conditioning back on. Big like you, Jones.
Yeah, man.
Then, we've got a bit of a plethora of yearlings at the moment as well. So a couple with James, we've got a DEF CON Chasing Kisses, and then with Billy, I think we've got about seven. So we've got a couple of Spirit of Booms, Spill the Beans.
Tony Gorlon loves them.
He does love them. Yeah, I think he buys all of them.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I mean, we'll see how we go. But, I mean, a lot of his progeny seem to be going really well now that they're sort of coming to that 4 or 5 year old age bracket, I think. Like, you've got Jonker that's been running very well.
Don't
I think
remind me.
Pretty unlucky to not have a group one. Maybe this spring. Who knows? But, yeah, oh, geez, Golan's flying as well at the moment, just mentioning that. So we've got quite a few there. We've got a good little little big Cepedo gelding now, poor guy. He looks really good as well. So we've had a bit more of a push for, like, early two-year-old horses this time around. So we'll wait and see how that happens. But we've targeted a few. I was sitting down with Billy, which is where we've got a lot of them. Just looking at, like, I guess mapping out some races, what we can target where, like, obviously for the English horses, like the Millenniums, the Dream. Obviously, not all horses get there. Like, it's, what, a 16-horse field, I think, and then Millions horses, obviously, millions.
If you're thinking of who's won that previously, Castelvecchio, that was his first ever win at 40s, and it was the most breathtaking win I think I've ever
unbelievable.
Seen.
Unbelievable.
Yep. As a two-year-old, it was unbelievable. So, yeah, if you get an English horse, you get some... eligible to run in that race, is that right?
Yeah, so your nominations are there, so there's no, you're not getting any entry fees or anything like that, which is, it's a big one. I think, what, the winner's 1.2 or 1.4 gets? $2 million prize pool. Fuck, that'd be good.
Wouldn't it?
Dare to dream, dare to dream.
So, mate, if, I'd imagine, because you, how many two-year-olds or early season two-year-olds you got at the moment?
For the early season ones, I think we've got four that we're hoping will go early, like pre-Christmas.
Yeah. Right, okay.
There might be a chance at some of those races. Yep. Like some, good, strong. Like the Spirit of Booms are both still colts, so they haven't been misbehaving, which is good.
Keep those nuts on for as long as you can, mate.
I'm sure Billy and James, I'm probably that owner that's like, oh, why are you cutting it? Why are you cutting it? And it's just like, Sam, the percentage of having a stallion prospect is like 0.2%. Yeah. Wow. And like Cepedo's what, like a second year stallion. They're like, he's just like, that's just not how it works. I'm like, oh. But you just know, you don't know.
Yeah.
But you do, apparently.
It's like taking a punt in any horse race. When you're backing a horse, it's called a gamble.
Oh,
so 100. Owning a horse, and particularly a stallion prospect, is just a bigger gamble.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money. I'd probably rather go into the broodmare game, to be honest, than try and get a stallion prospect. Buy a well-bred filly.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you get a few wins with it, but if not, you'll probably still have some of that.
Yeah.
Your value.
Yeah, your ceiling's nowhere near as high, but it's better propensity to actually make some money back.
Exactly right.
You see it every season for the 2-year-old, 3-year-old races. Just the trainers and the ownership are just dead set, that keen and that set on just getting any black type on the resume. And
because then they bang, it's,
Then they sell for, like, I remember Miss Rock, I think Group 2 winner, maybe placed in a couple of Group 1s, but she sold for like $2 million at the start. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
She was no superstar.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Good horse, but no superstar.
Yeah. And that's it.
Well, if you think about how many stallions or how many mares a stallion can service in a year, you're going to need a whole bunch of different mares to actually cop that. So, you're not going to get a Group 1 winning broodmare every time, are you?
No.
Definitely not.
So, mate, hypothetically, if there were some shares in these 2-year-olds or anything coming up, how would someone inquire about that for SJC?
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, we've got, it's like our biggest thing's been getting young people into racing. Like, not everyone that's come in with us has been young. I mean, what's your definition of young? But it's like a big thing for us is like there is an affordable side to racing where like you still do get to have a lot of fun. Like, sure, like our goal has been, we've started off small and on the cheaper end of a purchase price, but I guess in a lot of ways we've tried to trade up. Like Roselle Day, I think, was 17,000. So that next step up, the Spirit of Boom was 50. The Cepedo gelding was 60. So like we've tried to work up like the thrill of winning a race. I mean, I haven't won a Group 1, but yet. No, like I guess it started as like winning that race, like at Rocky, it's like, oh, it's Rocky. It's like, I could not have cared less where they were. There could have been two horses in the race. Mm. I mean, actually, maybe a couple more than two would have been good. But like you're getting that win on the board, like the thrill of seeing this horse run down, not the best action on Clever, but this gangly thing running down the side, Wiggins aboard. 100% strike rate with Wiggins, by the way.
Bang. We go.
He loves it.
Oh, good.
And he's a Sydney Roosters man, so you can't. He must be a good bloke as well. It's one of those.
He had to get that in somewhere.
Yeah, had to. Mm. But yeah, so I mean, we've got a website, sjcthoroughbreds.com, or on Instagram. We do a lot of our stuff through there. But from horse points of view, I think we've only got a few shares in two left. But the aim is then next year. I think we did 13 yearlings this year. Next year is to either trade up for a more expensive bunch or try and get a few more from that. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, and that's a bit of the game plan. But yeah, we've got, like, we bought another Cepedo filly for 7.5, so we do understand some people that are coming through us are dipping the toe in and want to try something out. So having that there. But then as we're getting some like wins and getting some more horses out there and more people that are keen, also sort of having the horses that are a bit more expensive to then, yeah, see where we can take them, hopefully around the country. But yeah.
Awesome. No, we'll put the your website in the show notes of this episode and on YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening.
Yeah.
You'll be able to access it and we'll also share it on our socials as well. But
keep your eyes peeled for the silks.
Yeah,
black and white silks.
They're good.
Yeah, I like them.
Bit of a Collingwood flavour behind it.
Yeah, a few people have said that or they've said, black saw was one thing they put it to. I said,
Nah.
Just kidding, black saw guys.
Respect what you do.
Yeah. Oh, highly. I think they're obviously killing it.
They've
had very good horses and pick obviously very well. So, yeah, that would obviously be a dream one day to get to that level. But, yeah, definitely not Collingwood.
Yeah. Mm. Is Isotope their best? Is she a part of that?
Yeah, she's Black Soil. So she's with Black Soil. Jonker as well is one that they've got. But, yeah, I think Isotope's flying.
Yeah,
another horse has probably been a bit unlucky in a couple of starts. So
she got injured, didn't she?
Yeah. She, her jockey.
Colic.
Colic.
She's had colic surgery after the last campaign. But as far as I'm aware, good to go for the upcoming spring, like back in work.
Going
well from that. So, I mean, I don't know the stats of horses coming back from that sort of thing. Yeah. But, yeah, hopefully she gets back to it and picks up where she left off.
Hopefully. Mm. We need some good Queensland horses back, I reckon.
We do. We need someone to follow in Crone's footsteps, mate.
Oh.
The mighty mares from up north.
Like Crone and the Harrovian shoulders are surely getting sore. Far out. Because you got Rothfire going down.
Oh, man.
And then now you have Isotope. Bloody hell.
Alligator blood.
Oh. Yeah, the blood.
He's up at the Sunshine Coast, so where Billy Healy and James Healy, not related, which I've always found funny, where they're training up. So Alligator blood's up there doing his, I think you'd say, pre-training with Billy before he heads down to be with the Waterhouse bot.
Yeah,
right. He'd have a bit of an aura about him, I reckon, the blood.
Yeah, he
knows what's up.
He knows.
Okay. Be good to see the blood. He's been out of action for a while now.
The kissing spine, is that?
Yeah.
Back surgery anyway on that. But from what I know, yeah.
Brilliant.
Back in good order.
Good stuff. Well, now you know. We didn't know that. So
yeah. There you go.
I think he's the forgotten horse.
He might be.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. There's a lot of publicity around him as well for all sorts of reasons. But I mean, you can't take away that he's obviously a very quality horse.
Absolutely. All righty, mate. Let's move on to, I guess, you as a punter, because we know you love a punt. So we're going to touch on some memorable wins that you've had on the punt, but we want to kick it off with an unforgettable loss. So I think you were just mentioning something about a young filly that ran quite well in a Cox Plate and then she didn't quite go on with the job.
Yeah, young fillies. I think they've broken all of our hearts. At a point in seven.
Oh,
time.
God, yeah.
So Yankee Rose, I think it was, four or five years ago, the year Lasquetti Spirit won, paying 101 or whatever it might have been. I think Yankee Rose was very, very short and was the last leg of a four-leg multi for a very tasty snack-like outcome. It was a sad time, and that's probably where I learned my lesson to not spend your money before you had it.
Oh,
as far as I was concerned, what's the point in cashing out? I think $1.70, $1.80. I'm not sure if it was that short, but
it was
criminally short. And that's where I learned my lesson about sub $2 favorites as well. So,
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
But for the lead up to that race, why she was so short, she finished third in the Cox Plate behind Winks and probably Hartnell or something.
Yeah.
So as a three-year-old, no mean feat. And then, Lasquetti Spirit, Brendan Abdullah, just one of the great steals of modern history.
Last leg of a multi, that's got to
hurt. On Derby Day too, such an insult.
Yeah,
that is an insult.
I don't do bigger than two-leg multis anymore because I've said, Sam, struggle to pick winners on their own. I'm picking four.
Yeah, that's bold. Who are you fooling here? I should take a leaf out of your book. Every week for our quarty, I do a multi for my quarty picks.
Yeah.
It's just thinking, maybe this is the week where it finally gets up. And I've gotten three, I think,
three times.
So, mate, it's better than most. Better
not
than
even,
me.
Not even 50%.
I won one quaddie and I ended up getting less money back than I put on it.
Oh, mate.
It was like favorite, second favorite. And yeah. I was like, hmm.
Yeah, welcome sweet. To the club.
Yeah. Yeah. We know that all too well. But getting on to something a bit better, mate. So
positivity.
Positivity.
Build me back up.
Mm. Talk us through your favorite horse and what race it was.
Yeah, so my favorite race generally is the Manicato Stakes. So it was actually through James when he was down in Melbourne. I think a friend of his had Malaguera. So we right. went down for, I think, 3 years running for Manicato into Cox Plate. So a group of us guys went down each year to do that. So the Manicato obviously teed everything off on the Friday night.
Big Friday and then recover on the Saturday just in time for the Cox
yeah,
Plate.
Yeah, recover over a bacon egg roll in the morning. Mm. But it was one of those things, like that was definitely my first experience as like an ownership, even though it wasn't even ours. Yeah, like we were absolute mooches. but getting like the ownership experience in like for the Manicato Stakes, something that's that big out of packed out Valley, like it's just gangster, I think. Like yeah. it was huge. Everyone's cheering, going off, running under lights. It was just unreal. So that was sort of my favorite race. Pre-loving Gabby being my favorite horse. I don't like big, strong filly.
Yeah.
Now, or what, seven-figure mare, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I just a bit of an enigma around her. Like, obviously, got to know her a bit better through James. Like, met her once when I went down to Melbourne through him. So, it was just one of those things. Like, obviously, a high-class horse and just, yeah. I think just one of those horses that
grew a leg at the Valley as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely love the Valley. Oh, here we go. I like it.
All right. So what we're doing is we're going to do this for our guests. But let's have a look here.
It's a funny story. When I was watching this, I was at a function. I had to sneak off to the toilet and actually watch it in there with AirPods in the bathroom.
So this is her Manicato Stakes run here. So she was about $7 this day.
Yeah, I think eight something.
Yeah, oh, did you absolutely launch?
Ah, yeah.
So from memory, so we got Fartana, who's a very fast horse out in front. We have Anahid in second, Loving Gabby getting the box seat on the fence. Is that Willow on board?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
We rode her that day. I think it was just one of those things. Like her first start, she came from last and had to weave through everyone. Like that was, again, James gave us that tip. He said, this horse is something special. I thought, oh no, we've absolutely cooked it here. But comes from anywhere, I think.
So I think we're rounding about the three to 200 here, just about to go into the straight. Who's the grey out wide? Don't know. Probably. No.
Oh, it runs a very good second, that horse.
Here she comes. So she's about two lengths off him, and then she explodes at the 100, gets her nose in front. Look at the size of her. Powers through, bang.
Yeah, is pulling away from the grey. Couldn't tell you what the grey is. It'll probably come up soon. But pulling away from that grey. And, mate, anyone who says if Bivouac or Vital Silver, there you go. Anyone who says that Bivouac, if it gets her unbeats her.
No.
You're an idiot.
No.
You can't. Ugh.
That was in the William Reid.
Yeah.
And Bivouac finished off quite well. And punters.com actually, shout out, one of the great, they do a great job covering horse racing. But when that was a part of the spring last year or whenever it was, they had what was the sickest beat of the spring, and they voted number one Bivouac in the William Reid. I'm like, he wouldn't have won.
No.
No, yeah. No.
He would have won. Yeah, probably would have run a nice second, but yeah. I just don't think there's any way you were catching her.
No.
Obviously maybe a bias there because it is my favorite horse and I did give it a fair nudge, but Bivouac, high quality horse, Loving Gabby, I just think the next sort of level on that.
That was an unbelievable year of horses. You had Exceedance, Loving Gabby, Bivouac,
Castel
Vecchio, who ran second in a Cox Plate, Microphone.
Adelaide, that I'm forgetting. Ooh. It was just here, the gun.
It's not a easy beast.
G-Tra.
So they came up against each other a few times. And I've actually had a little, it wasn't a feud, but with one of the owners, of Bivouac on Twitter, which is a very good platform, by the way. For anyone not on Twitter, had a bit of back and forth on there.
Owner of Bivouac or Geetra?
Geetra.
Okay, you said.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So I was like,
you go on, you're taking down the shit.
Going international. Look at this man.
No.
SJC Thoroughbreds.
I was actually tweeting the owner of Loving Gabby for a while, and we were going to catch up down at the Slipper 1 year, but then COVID happened and all the borders, and that was probably the peak of my social media career anyway. But yeah, like I think that was a very class year. Like, I guess 18 months of horses coming through there, like very high quality, like exceedance in the heavy or the soft track was not touching anything else. In that, obviously, Loving Gabby. Bivouac, I mean, pretty fortunate to have been coming through at that point.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't really see Microphone as a 3-year-old.
No.
He was probably the best 2-year-old we saw, him and probably Castelvecchio. And it's like, oh, it's just such a shame. Like, these cult.
Yeah.
Like, they just go too soon.
Yeah. And like, then, like, I wouldn't even know the stats of how many each year go to stud, but, like, sure, the ones that have an injury, like, I think Anders had a tendon issue or something like that. So, like, I can understand if it's not going to run on anyway, but, like, there's a lot that I'm like, if there's 8 or 9 good horses now retiring, like, I'm Invincibles aren't going to lose value. Like, I mean, we'll obviously Sebring will now, but like, there's going to be these horses. It'll be stalwarts of it. Like, your Merchant Navies are coming through now, which are going quite well. Like, it's that will be going quite well. It's, I just don't understand the logic, because even saturating the market with stallions, would that not in turn decrease the service fee? Like, I don't know. From an economics point of view, I feel like it would. But
but I think you've got to look at it in a sense that just the chances of having a stallion prospect, like you said, is so low that obviously owners want to protect what they've got. Yeah.
But they insure the horses. So who is the – Ole Kirk was insured for $20
million. Yeah.
And so whatever the cost of that insurance is, like if he breaks down, obviously that'd be really sad. It'd be devastating for the ownership and, you know, it'd be devastating for him.
Yeah.
He's not going to, he's not going to the equine bedroom anytime soon. But yeah, surely there's like the juice is worth the squeeze, because I look at a Fierce Impact.
Yeah.
Entire, and he's now won, what, 3 group ones at 1600 meters.
Yeah.
And he's out of Deep Impact. I think he's going to be an absolute superstar at stud without knowing anything about the breeding game.
Yeah. Oh, and again, like full disclosure, I certainly don't know a whole lot. I probably look at it from more like a macro point of view or business point of view.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so many really class mares, and obviously I don't own a stallion or anything close to that yet. but it's like you obviously want the best mares going to your stallion, because then that increases the sale price, well, if you're selling them, of the yearlings or weanlings whenever you sell it. And then in theory, from a pedigree point of view, like they're going to be the ones that either breed from or that will have the best chance from a pedigree point of view at winning at the track. But there's only so many good mares.
Yeah.
And the more stallions there are, like if you've got a first-year stallion or you've got someone like Loving Gabby, who's Pierrata, I think. But, like, you're not going to send her – like, I don't know the bloodlines and everything like that. But – oh, sorry, Pierre. But you're not going to send her to an Anders or an unproven stallion yet. Maybe in 5 years, 6 years, if he starts getting awesome results. But, like, why risk a $1 million mare on something that's unproven when it's like you go to your Pierrots, your I'm Invincibles, your Merchant Navies or whoever else there might be? Like, it's the risk-reward – isn't quite there. And if you've got 8 or 9 coming through.
Yeah. Because how many times can a mare get pregnant in her lifetime? Less than 10?
I think Mackay Bediva and Black Caviar have gone about 7 or 8 times. And they're a great example. It's like you just, it's nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah. Like, and like, have they thrown the best horses out there?
No.
Like, but again, like the residual value of a Black Caviar filly or a Mackay Bediva filly will carry value for a very long time, being that bloodline, from what my limited knowledge of it.
You're right,
you're probably in a bit of trouble if you're buying these really expensive colts out of them and then, they're doing an I Am Clever and running last in a trial and then being gelded straight away. Like, that's all part of the risk of the game, I guess, especially at that end of it.
Yeah. Big money. Yeah. I wonder what the service fee for the Autumn Sun is right now.
because we'll start seeing stuff coming from him in a few years' time.
Yeah, I think I want to say 33.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I also could just have completely made that up.
So. To compare that to, say, 60, yeah. a schnitzel, I think schnitzel's about 200, 250 yeah. or something.
They're not cheap.
No.
And, yeah, no. it's – but, like, again, if you're paying $250,000 for a service fee, you're wanting to send it to a mare that's group placed,
yeah.
group wins.
Like impeccable yeah. bloodlines.
Because, yeah, how are you going to get your 250K back?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Well, mate, I think that's about it from
yeah.
our side, unless you had anything.
No, mate.
No?
No, it was a good conversation, yeah. man. Yeah. A wealth no. of knowledge. Look at wealth you.
Yeah.
There might be lots of it, but quality level might be in a bit of trouble as a selling prospect, that's for sure.
I think, actually, one thing I'll ask from you, hot take for the spring coming up. Do you see a sort of a headline coming up in the spring that you think's a bit of a hot take, mate? And we'll what we can say is you've heard it here first, if it does happen.
You've heard it here. Oh, okay, that's very true. I don't know. I mean, the way Golan's going, I think he'll be a force to be reckoned with, not here but down south as well. I mean, I don't think anyone can take that away from how their stable's going at the moment. I think you'll see the rise of a few younger, smaller stables here. Obviously, I'm a bit biased to James, Hilly and Billy, who, yeah, both have runners in the coming week. Yeah, coming few days. But I think with a lot of those guys, like, they're starting to pick off more and more results from the spring point of view. I don't know. I feel like Waterhouse Bot have dropped off a little bit, like seeing next to nothing from them. Godolphin as well. I feel like we haven't seen that Royal Blue passing the line as much. So
yeah.
I think it will be another big year for Kieran, I think.
Yeah.
I just think winners win, and I just – you're not stopping those stables at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, it's – I think I saw most group ones of the season. It's Chris Waller on, I think, about 8.
Yeah.
And then it was Godolphin, Kieran Maher – and maybe even Golan on 3. Don't think Golan. I think he got 2. But, so it's kind of Waller than the rest at the moment.
Yeah,
so
he's a genius. He just flies, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just flies.
Yeah.
Big stables, big horses, big resources.
So. Yeah. Beauty.
Good on them.
Well, thanks for coming on, mate. No, all the best to... on to what's his nickname? Clever? I'm Clever?
Clever.
Just Clev?
I don't know. Plunge horse, whatever you want. he might need the run, so if you're going to follow him in, second up's probably your best.
Second up. And Roselle Day, Gary?
Yeah, yep. So he'll probably be in the coming 6 weeks, okay. I'd say. And then, yeah, James has got another one, Critical Thinker, on Tuesday, the race after I'm okay. Clever. So that'll be interesting to see how they all go after a bit of paddock time.
Beauty.
Yeah.
Well, best
thanks
of luck,
for having
mate.
Me on. I appreciate no worries, it, guys.
Mate. Our pleasure, mate.
Sammy from SJC Thoroughbreds. All the info will be in the show notes, but thanks for coming on, brother.
No worries. Thanks again.
Thanks, mate.